The Money Show. Small business.
Kumaran Padiachi is with us this evening. He is the chief executive of Spartan. It is an SME finance company, a small business focus, brought to you by PwC. PwC helps private companies build, grow, and evolve their businesses through the tough times and the good times. We're just talking about the fact that we were at Rhodes University at roughly the same time, but he was in the wrong part of the university. I was told the other day that Mkhulisi Jonas was there at the same time, but he was always hiding away.
In the library.
Not in the library, just hiding away from the security branch most of the time. We were quite active in those days, during our university days and those interesting times. We've aged. It's been a long time.
It has
been a long time. Did you do a proper degree?
What's a proper degree?
Not journalism.
BCom majored in accounting.
Look at that. That's why you wear fashion items and I don't. Now, listen, let's talk about 2020. It feels weird to be looking ahead, and I'm more taken by the year 2020. I'm taken by the year 2020 like I was taken by the year 2000. It feels like one of those important dates. It's just another year. It's just another number. It makes a blooming difference. But as we look ahead to the SME environment, to the small business environment, which is permanently under siege and under pressure. I mean, does it get any better ever? Because this environment is tough.
Yes, you know, is there light at the end of the tunnel for them? And it depends on your perspective. You know, for some, there will be light coming out of sunlight. You're seeing the sunlight coming out of this tunnel. And for others, that light will be a train coming at you. And in my view, it largely depends on your philosophy and lens.
My philosophy is, if we're in South Africa and there's a light at the end of the tunnel, it is the sun, because the trains don't fit in the tunnels because we bought the wrong trains. So we always have to be optimistic. And it depends who you are and where you're positioned and what you're doing within that SME sector as to how resilient you're going to be able to be.
Yes, you know, you've got to first figure out your lens and decide what's your own philosophy. You know, if you're someone that sees things dark, well, then sometimes you're going to be right, sometimes you're going to be wrong. Or if you see something as totally positive all the time, you're going to be disappointed. I think a happy road is in the middle, because it's the paradox is the truth, right? Things are simultaneously, we'll use a safe word, I'll just say bad, and simultaneously great. And you've got companies that are dying and you've got companies that are growing. You've got corruption that's still out there. And we're seeing some nice hope that is happening with the Hawks and NPA. So we've got to see both these things, first of all, as a philosophy. Because, you know, when you're wanting to grow, you can, some people can cut their way out of that, right? Mm-hmm. You can cut costs as a way to survive. Or you can say, I'm going to double down and grow revenue.
You've got to have a growth mindset. I mean, I can't, it's a terrible environment to be in when the only way you can grow is by cutting, because you're not growing.
Yes.
You're simply constraining yourself from future growth. And so somehow you need to find a way to constantly be expanding, whether it's breaking into new businesses or breaking into new product lines or breaking into new services. You've got to have a growth mindset. Otherwise, what are you doing?
Yes. And, you know, let's look at the SA economy, right? You know, it can negatively affect SMEs, or it can positively affect SMEs. If you've got the big trees, the big guys are being chopped down or falling down, it leaves more sunlight for the smaller businesses. Let's say a particular sector drops by 50%. Sure, the SMEs are going to be affected, but the bigger guys are going to fall, like we're seeing liquidations in some very large companies. But the SMEs still have room to survive and thrive, even in that sector that could be half the size. So there's more promise for them. We are certainly seeing it. For example, we've got businesses that we may be funding, we are funding in civil construction. And that's, you know, construction generally is one that has got some big names that have fallen, big trees that have fallen.
Absolutely.
But how come? And we're scared about it and have nightmares about funding them. But yet we're seeing growth in the smaller guys, not necessarily in the sectors, but you're seeing smaller guys.
If you're specialists in the civil engineering space or in the building space, and you're good at what you do and you can manage your costs, I mean, the biggest thing is, so many of these large construction companies were operating on wafer thin margins to start off with, and then it doesn't take too many mistakes on fixed price contracts for you to get underwater.
Yes. And another thing that we should be mindful of, Bruce, is where if an SME is overexposed to a particular client or a particular sector, because if you've got 70%, 80%, 50% of your focus in a particular sector, or worse, in a particular client, and that's a big one, you're going to sink with that ship. And so this is another example of how the economy can negatively affect.
Or they've just got to change their plans, or change their suppliers, or change their relationships. That's, and suddenly you've been terribly loyal. You've been behaving practically like an employee to this company, just on an outsourced basis. And suddenly they do the equivalent. They fire you.
Yes.
And you lose your major revenue stream, and suddenly you're exposed. Yeah.
So all these points that you mentioned can be wrapped up in, you know, in a phrase like business model. It may be an esoteric term, but it's how strong your structure is and how adaptable you are. And so this is the time to be seeing if you're overexposed to a customer, a particular customer, changing that. Maybe you need to insure your debtors, because the good become the bad and the ugly, don't they? It's maybe a time to change your own suppliers, your own supplier terms, and marketing in a different way, because when the tide is down, you know, and if you haven't been wearing, you're going to be caught.
If you're not been wearing your shorts, you're going to be exposed.
You're going to be exposed.
So whenever we talk to chief executives, they say, well, the economy is growing at 0.3%. We're growing at 4%. We're outperforming the economy. We are amazing. And you go, well, no, you're outperforming the economy because you're cutting costs. You're not outperforming the economy because you're growing and expanding. So, no, you're not wonderful. But in the SME space, is the macro economy as important as the corporate sector perceives it to be, and as useful as an excuse for underperformance?
I'm biased because of our SME focus, Len. I don't think the macro economy is as important for the SME. It is important, but
you have to have economic activity in order to grow.
Of course, you're not naive about that. So just before anyone misunderstands, it's very important.
Sure.
But you can still find SMEs growing in there because, you know, when you're coming off a low base, if you're doing 10 million rand turnover, you can go to 20 million rand turnover and you're small little fry in that jungle. That's 100% growth.
Yeah.
That can happen in a sector that's under challenge. So it is more about the strength of their business model and the adaptability to these changing circumstances in the sector for an SME. But a big giant, like a large corporate, can't shift so easily, right? It's at a saturation largely, and it's not so nimble. So I don't think the macro thing is the end all and be all for an SME and an entrepreneur.
I would agree with you on that. And I look at some phenomenal businesses who are, you know, problem solving enterprises, people who are finding gaps in the economy and are servicing those gaps and are servicing those markets in a way that large corporations have either given up on trying to do or failed to do or have never been able to do. And they're simply just running smart businesses well and are flourishing and are growing at 20, 30 and 40% a year.
Yes. Now, I'll give you an example. We've seen some smaller independent fuel wholesalers. And in the beginning of the year, you know, it's not a sector that we wanted to fund at all because the margins are razor thin. And until we started to see the light ourselves to the latter part of the year, where some of them are adapting really in a smart way, where they are playing a location-based strategy for fuel distribution, because the large majors are focused on the metropolitans. They're taking truckloads out into the smaller towns. They're putting fuel tanks in there and they're servicing those buyers. And so in a very commoditized space, they're finding a unique gap. Mm. That's an example of someone being streetwise in a razor thin margin sector. And now it's possible, you know, to back them.
Yeah. Kumaran Padiachi is the chief executive at Spartan SME Finance. If you've got any questions on the small business environment, maybe your small business, maybe the funding models that you could use to grow your business, is Kumaran mad to be funding businesses that in this environment seem too hot to touch, that are just a little bit too under pressure, whether it be in the construction and engineering sectors, whether it be in the fuel sectors? Taking risk is part of course, growing businesses. And if you're not prepared to take risk, then you shouldn't be going into your own business. But in an expansive mindset, are you growing your small business in this environment? If you are, how are you doing it? What lessons can you teach us on this Money Show this evening?
The Money Show. Small business.
Kumaran Padiachi is the chief executive at Spartan SME Finance. How is the apportionment of the big wad of cash that you were given by the SME Fund? Have you managed to distribute all of that money?
Almost all of it. That's a good and a bad thing, because
then what do you do
going,
next?
So it's going well. About 75% of it we distributed, lent out already, and about 90% of that has been through black business. About 60% has been to female owned business, and about 40-odd to black female owned business. That's not our focus, none of that. It's just a reflection of what's happening in the market, I think. Maybe a positive on the preferential procurement, you know, because BE is justifiably got a bad deal, but I think unjustifiably so in some regard. And the preferential procurement is a particular thing that's worked well there.
And typically, what sort of businesses have you been putting money into?
Construction, civil construction, engineering consulting, manufacturing.
Like real world, old school business.
Real world, non sexy, but this is where the jobs are happening.
Yeah.
You know, this is where the real growth is happening. This is the stuff that I'm excited about. We need the sexy, we need the venture capital sexy stuff, but that's the 1% and 5%. You know what I mean? We mustn't forget about the 95%. That's old world traditional businesses. Not everyone can be sexy tech, you know, and we like that. And it's also what we're seeing is counterintuitive. You'll find, you know, females in very industrial type of businesses driving it, not being in the background, but really, really driving it. And that's counterintuitive to all our prejudices, but it's very exciting to see, I would say.
Well, no, it's good to see, and it's exciting to hear about. Now, give me a sense of the global environment, because should SMEs care about, you know, whether Donald Trump and the Chinese are sniping at each other this week? I mean, if you sat down and listened to and panicked about every bit of negative news flow that came your way, you would be paralyzed into inaction.
Oof. I tell you, isn't that the truth? So I think you should be aware and care somewhat, but it should be more on the periphery, because you can't control the madness that is happening there. In some ways, it makes us feel good about what's happening in our country when you look at your neighbor and you think, well, it's 10 times worse there, right? That's how the human condition is sometimes. And it's a bit twisted. So my view is that you cannot control those things. Just be aware. So if there's any implications that you can adapt, but otherwise you have to focus on what you can control, and it's more micro focus in a micro sector view rather than the global and the macro side for SMEs. This is for SMEs, and move on with your life. Otherwise you're factoring too much of complexities in that will fuel your anxiety around things that you can't control, and the life of
an entrepreneur is one of anxiety. I mean, what the attraction is beyond me. People who like adrenaline, people who like to live on the edge, people who like big challenges, yeah. And don't mind losing sleep over money.
Yeah, you know, anxiety is a double-edged sword. It's you're quite right to diagnose that it's something that's there with all entrepreneurs, and you see, there's a fine difference between functional anxiety, I feel, and dysfunction. Dysfunctional anxiety, you just freeze. Functional anxiety is when the sphincter tightens up just the right amount to fuel you. You know, and really it does, because you need to care, you need to be thinking about these things, but you just need to be functional anxiety about it.
Yeah, functional anxiety. Yes, okay, you've done it. It was done. It has happened. We can't undo it. And then when it comes to really building a business and saying, right, we're in a sector that has got growth potential. We've got clients who like us, who trust us to do a good job, but we need to expand. We need to grow. How do we define now, before we go on holiday, because we need to have a break so that we arrive in January launched, ready to launch and ready to go into the stratosphere. What do we need to do now to make sure that we're ready to go when we return from a short but fulfilling break?
Perspective is a big friend for me, you know, and so I would advocate with entrepreneurs is that use the time to reflect. I don't think there's much, I wouldn't advocate there's too much of thinking, productive thinking that can be done now as you're breaking, because I think people are tired, you're skidding in towards the end of the year, you're not really at your smartest or most reflective now. You need the rev counter to go from 9 to perhaps at idle or at 3. And then reflect on the year that passed. Where did you go right and wrong? and then have some perspective around in your little landscape. Concentrate on your little landscape and look at one man's poison is another man's meat. So in your sector, what's the distress that's happening and how can you adapt and take advantage of that? Think about three things that you can do. Put some action plans around that. Put some champions around that, people to drive that. And at the same time, look at three red flags, which it's anticipating. That's when the anxiety becomes functional. You're anticipating what are the three red flags that can happen in my sector. If you know, let's say if you're in construction and a big giant fell and you no choice to still be in construction and getting work from them, well, maybe consider insuring your debtors book as an example. That's a red flag. These are some of the things I would suggest, Bruce.
Okay. I mean, it comes down to then ensuring your strategy is in place as well, but getting your sales function really tip top and getting it done. You can't be starting on the 15th of January and going, okay, guys, let's plan the year now. Mm. Because by the time we get to the end of January, you've missed a month.
You've missed a month. But let's be real. It's a month left to go for the year, 15 days. What can be done now?
Yeah. You know? What can be done now?
Yeah. You're already too late if you're planning for the next year. But growth is about revenue, and revenue is about strategy, sales, and marketing. So I would be looking at new segments within the sector. So if you're in a particular sector, how can you get new customers? Which ponds do they live in? And how do you market towards that more efficiently? Is Google AdWords a strategy? Is it a partnership or alliance that's a strategy? And again, put down some plans and budgets around that, around each of those types of things.
And finding new ways of delivering your marketing message. Your customers know you. They already know you. You don't need to go and tell them that you're wonderful.
But you've got to find new customers and tell them you exist.
Yes.
So this is, growing with your customer base, you can do more business with the same customers by selling them new things or what have you. But you also need to find other customers. And this is where, when the big guys are falling and closing, those customers still have to be served somewhere, don't they? And so that's an opportunity for you to be looking out for that. So I would say, from a marketing perspective to SMEs, there's more to be gained by raising awareness outside of the target market. I hate it when you ask the question, how do you market, and say by word of mouth? That's very lazy. It means you don't have a strategy and you don't have a plan. That you can't scale with that. You know, you got to purposely raise awareness outside of your customer base.
What's your preferred method?
For our business, we've got a more marketing competency business because it suits us rather than sales. And I would say it depends on your business model. So for us, we use a lot of digital marketing, Google and the like. And we also have alliances and partnerships with people that refer us business. So those are the two. And it makes sense in our world for our model. It's very efficient. We've managed, last year we had about 250 inquiries coming in a month. This year our average is 520 inquiries coming in a month. That's through an efficient, marketing that we're doing. But it makes sense in our model, in our world.
Yeah. Tell me about funding. I mean, it just feels like funding is getting harder and harder to get.
Yes,
it is. And get access to. I mean,
and it's going
to
get harder.
Yeah.
And because it's tightening, you see, when things are going to go a little bit pear-shaped, funders will experience some losses. It'll affect their anxiety. It'll affect their confidence and comfort. And that's going to manifest in tightening of the taps. And then people will start to try and find new ponds. So I think the advice for entrepreneurs is be alive to that. Plan early, because it's going to take you longer than what you expect in some instances. But the biggest thing is manage your expectations. Don't expect it to be easy. So there's no promising message I can give about that. I don't want to be delusional and.
But the fact is that there is money. And I don't,
plenty.
There's lots of money. And provided the idea is good enough, the theory goes, it will always find money.
Yeah. When I was last on the show, I was talking about there's a paradox between funders complaining there's not enough quality SME transactions and SMEs complaining
there's not enough funding.
And it's the things about the jungle, and the both are entering the jungle from different sides and trying to find each other. In SME, you can spot the elephant, which is a big bank, quite easily. But the small alternative funders, like the squirrels and the small animals, are not easy to spot. So this is about finding them. There is a lot of money. But funders will be more cautious That's all I'm saying.
And you've got to then be absolutely at the top of your game when you go out looking for that funding. There are no second chances. You go out there, you make your name bad. You know, you make your name bad. You want word of mouth marketing. That's going to spread.
That's very, very quickly. You have to be prepared. They, right now, the funders want to trust the jockeys a bit more. So character becomes a great thing, doesn't it? Because in a tough time, the good will be could be tempted to become bad and ugly and dodgy. So you want to test, you want to predict what the character is going to perform when he goes under suffrage. Second is about competence. Someone that is not so competent is not going to survive rough seas. One is very competent, they're going to thrive in rough seas, let alone survive. So the competence and the character, and funders will be watching for that. So, and want to redirect more of their funding to those types of entrepreneurs. So they, you're quite right, there's more than enough funding to go around. I'm just saying funders will be a bottom.
And if you're struggling, then you'd really need to be looking at your strategy in terms of, you need to be looking at what your proposition is and how you're delivering that proposition and who it is that you're talking to. I mean, you've got to go, I mean, the stories of people knocking on the doors of 50, 60, 70 people, before they get a bite. It's, you've got to build resilience, that extraordinary resilience that comes out of rejection.
Yeah, and now the tougher economy, I think, is an opportunity to build resilience. But funders will look at your business model. And they'll be forecasting in a sector that's going to, maybe doing bad. Not all sectors are. How are you going to adapt? And so they're going to see, can your business model withstand that? And do you have the character and the competence to withstand that? So you've got to demonstrate that quickly, I think.
And character is probably the most underrated attribute in any transaction. You go borrow money from the bank. The bank can do its algorithms. It can do its sums and say you're worth this much. But if you are not likely to be of sound values and character and you desire to get the debt paid back, people are going to question your judgment, going to question your morality. And the moment they're doing that, you've lost that fight too.
Yes, you have. Indeed, you have. And people are doing checks in all kinds of ways. Your character can be easily checked by past behavior and by making a few phone calls. And also in an interview, you know, these things can come out. So,
and in your social media world, so be careful what you post, when you post it, how it's posted, who's posting about you. Manage your persona, public and private. Kumaran, thank you. Kumaran Padiachi is the chief executive at Spartan SME Finance.